Book of Romans, chapter number 3, we're going to deal with something. I'm going to read a very familiar verse to you folks first. Then I'm going to go back and look at the earlier part of the chapter for the remainder of the service. But before we do anything, let's have a word of prayer and let's ask God to speak to our hearts. Our Heavenly Father, again, what a joy it is to be here tonight. Lord, what an honor it is to have my Bible open tonight, being able to teach your people. Lord, I pray tonight that you'd use me the way that you would want to use me. Lord, I pray again tonight for Lisa Kozad's mother. Lord, the things and the pain that's going through that family, Lord, I just pray that you just be with them, guide them in these next few days and the days after. Lord, thank you that we can call upon you as our great comforter, knowing that you'll comfort us in our time of need. Thank you for this great day that you have allowed us to be a part of today. Thank you for the beautiful weather that we have been able to see today. Lord, we have seen the clouds for a few days. We have seen the rain come out of the heavens for a few days. But Lord, you opened those clouds away from us, and we're able to see that beautiful blue sky and the sun to be able to shine forth today. And Lord, what a beautiful picture that is. Lord, that is your handiwork at its greatest, and we thank you, Lord, that we can just look up in the sky knowing that you put that there. Lord, again, be with us tonight in your name. Amen. Book of Romans, chapter number 3, verse number 23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Who can probably say tonight that you know that from memory? And you've heard that verse throughout your lifetime, whether it be through a little child, or an adult on the way up to as you get older. We've heard this verse a lot. But have we gone back to the part of the chapter why this verse is there to begin with? It's there for a very specific reason. And we're going to talk about this real quick. The very first part of the chapter is going to be dealing with the Jews. And I tell you what, I've had some tremendous teaching upon the Jews. You know, it's unfortunate today that I'm not able to go to my father-in-law for some thoughts on what he has learned about the Jewish tradition. And I'm going to miss those times, but he's taught me a lot with those things. We heard a great message this morning from Pastor about the law and how we're to honor the law and how we're to cherish the law. And we're grateful for those things. But we see here, even in this first part of the chapter, we see that the Jews, who were law-abiding people, we know from fact that the law cannot save you. Who would agree with me on that? Coming from Scripture, the law cannot save you. We do know in Scripture from chapter 3 of Galatians, verse number 24, that the law is our schoolmaster. What does that mean, the law is our schoolmaster? Well, let me put it to you in the simplest terms that I can think of tonight. This is to say, and we have this in our church, we have something that's called a school. And in that school, we have what is called a principal. Pastor is the principal of Liberty Christian School. So with that being said, there are some laws that the principal has put in place for every student and teacher to follow. Amen? And that principal is the one who is going to guide them along the way to have them obey the laws. That's what the schoolmaster is. There is a guideline. There is a book that they have. How many of you folks know how many laws there are for the Jews? There are over 613 laws that the Jews have to abide by. Could you imagine trying to keep all those laws? Sterling, I was looking at those laws earlier today. You're a farmer, are you not? One of those laws that you have to honor as a farmer, you have to leave a portion of your field for the poor. That's something that you put a lot of hard work into, that you know that is going to be beneficial to your family, you know is going to bring income to your family. But by the Jewish law, that farmer cannot touch a certain part of his field. You know what that part of the field's for? It's for the poor. And so the poor can come in and they can have from his field. Those are some laws that they would have to abide by. That's something that would be very hard for you to abide by, because you know that's your income. You know that if you leave a portion of that, that's something that you're going to miss out on. But that's something that they had to practice. That's just one of the laws. One of the other laws I was looking at is towards Gentiles. Do you realize that the Jews had a law towards the Gentiles? They had to treat them with respect. They had to love them. Aren't you grateful for that? But even with those things being said about the law, the Jews could not keep every law. They would pick and choose what was beneficial for them. That's no different than the way you and I and how we live our lives. We're going to pick and choose things out of God's word and how we're going to live our lives by God's word. Can I say to you that's the improper way to live? God has given us a whole guideline to live by, has he not? And so we should choose to live by the whole entire principle that God wants us to learn and live by. And that's through his whole word. And not pick and choose things that are, how do I say this in the right way, that it's going to benefit you, but you're not going to do something else because it's not going to benefit you in that way. So we see the laws were meant for the Jews to abide by. It was meant for them to have a good cordial living towards each other. If you were to go through a lot of these laws, you'll see how they are to act towards each other, how they act towards civilians, how they act in their marriage and things of that nature. I tell you what, it's a very eye-opening thing. But even with that being said about the Jews, one thing that I have come to understand through Scripture is that the Jews, even with all the laws that they had, Sterling, they were still sinners. They were still sinners. One of the greatest sins that I can recognize tonight that the Jews did, Shelley, was they did not serve their God with their whole heart. That's one of the laws that they were required to do. Matter of fact, that is the first law for the Jews, to serve God and not to put any imitation God in between them. That was one of their first laws. That's one of the laws that they had a hard time with, because if you go through Scripture, you will see that they served other gods and they would reject God in their lifestyle. And so with that being said, even though they had all these things, and it talks about in verse number 1 and verse number 2, the oracles of God, it's talking about the Word of God. They had the Word of God back in that day. But even so, with that being said, they were still sinners. And we're going to pick it up here in verse number 23 again. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I'm going to have Jordan and I'm going to have Justin come up here tonight because I just want to do a brief illustration if I could. And I'm not going to embarrass these guys. I'm just simply going to have them stand up here. Just to give you folks a good picture of this. Because we're going to see some things in Scriptures that's going to bring this together. See, a lot of us sit there, we think that we're excluded from things because we've reached a certain stature in life and we've achieved a different higher level in life and we're excluded from such things. And the fact of the matter is, we're not. Here we have on my left side is Justin. Justin represents the Jews. He is a law-abiding citizen, but at the end of the day, what do we know about Justin? We know that Justin, in fact, cannot keep 613 laws. We know that for a fact. Matter of fact, we know of 10 laws that are in the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, that none of us can keep. Just 10. And try to imagine to live and trying to fulfill those 613 laws. I want to encourage you to look at those laws, to be honest with you. We should take a look at those. So we have this guy right over here who has the Word of God, who has studied the Word of God. And matter of fact, the Jews had a great part in the Word of God back then. Now we're going to go over to this side. Jordan here, he represents the Gentiles. The Gentiles are the ones who, after the rejection, because this is what the Jews did, they rejected Jesus Christ. And not to say this to be demeaning towards the Jews, but I'm glad that they did so. Because of that, now I have the ability to have Christ in my life, because Christ came to save all. And so now we see here Jordan, he represents the Gentiles. He did not have the oracles of God. He did not have the things that the Jews had at that time. But what do we know about the Gentiles? We know this. I know this because he's my nephew. And not to be funny, but Jordan is a sinner. I've known this kid since he was in his diapers, screaming, wailing, and crying for no reason. At the age of 24, screaming, crying, and wailing for no reason. The day of his wedding, screaming, crying, and wailing for no reason. Did you have a reason to cry that day? No. Good answer. So we see here that he is no different than this guy over here who has the law of God. What do we know? Both of these guys, by nature, are what? Sinners, exactly. So with that being said tonight, can you and I identify tonight and say that we are sinners? A Greek word for that I want to say tonight is homologio, means to agree with God. Man, that's slipping my mind. I'm not saying that right. But anyway, I'll correct that later. So we have this guy, the Jew. We have this guy, the Gentile. We're all sinners. You guys can go sit down right now. Thank you. You guys did a good job tonight standing up there all brave-like. But what do we know for verse number 23? It says, for all of sin. For all of sin is who? Exactly. See, for years I looked at this scripture and I've read this verse for many times and I just, in generically just reading, okay, for all sin I come short of the glory of God. It's never really meant anything to me, to be honest with you. It's just a verse that I memorized and I've never really studied. But why does it say here in scripture, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Well, let's back up to verse number 9 and let's begin to read these things. Because, well, let me read verse number 1. Let's read this. Verse number 1, it says, what advantage then hath a Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision, much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God? For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, thou mightest be justified in the sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness condemn the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous? Who taketh vengeance, I speak as a man. God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie into his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that good may come, whose damnation is just. So now we're going to move on to verse number 9, and we're going to see that this whole world is guilty. We're all guilty, Jew, Gentile. There's nobody that's going to escape this in their life. We're all guilty. And it'd be better for us to admit our guilt. Amen? Just admit that you're guilty. Admit that you are a sinner, saved by grace, and you're thankful for that. So now we go on. It says in verse number 9, it says, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have both proved, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So as we begin to read this, I want you to imagine with me in your mind that you are in a courtroom this evening. And we're standing before our judge, and our judge is God. And as we're standing there, we're going through our life, and we're realizing that we are guilty. Verse number 10 starts off very, very, if I can say this, just in your face. Because it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. See, a lot of us, we think that we've reached a certain level in life and we've attained everything. That's not the case. There is none righteous. No, not one. Verse number 11, he goes on and begins to say, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. I told you folks a little while ago, I don't understand everything about God. I crave to know the things about God to the best of my ability. And I don't have the mind that most of you folks have. There are things that fly right over my head that I don't have the understanding and I don't have the knowledge of those things. And so I don't understand some of those things of God. So it says, there is none that understandeth. But then here's verse number 11. I begin to understand this in my own life. It says, there is none that seeketh after God. Do you realize in your life, just look back at your life before salvation. Were you searching for God? And the answer would be, probably for everybody here, would be, no, I was not searching for God. Can I give you a little bit of a clue? God wasn't hiding from you. Isn't that great? He wasn't under a bushel. He wasn't hiding behind a door. He wasn't playing hide and seek with you. God was right there. But he was the one who was searching for us. And let's be honest with ourselves. Are we seeking God today? Are we searching to have and to seek to have a relationship with him? You know what the answer is? Probably not the answer that we want to give. But I do know this. God wants to have a relationship with us. God wants that. Shelley, you and I are totally two different people. Amen? You can say amen really loud on that one. But even though, despite how different we are, despite our backgrounds that we come from, we've both been raised up differently, but we've been taught differently. But we both have come to that salvation that God wanted us to have in our life. Amen? And I'm thankful for that tonight. Do you realize tonight God wants to have a relationship with you? Doc, do you, and I know this, you're 96 years of age. This is nothing new to you. Even at your age, God is still seeking to have a relationship with you. Isn't that great? You know what that means, folks? God has a love for us so much that he wants to communicate to us to have a relationship together. He's the one who is in constant seeking of us. And I look at my life, and to my shame, I have not sought God the way that I should. And that's shame on my part. So verse number 11 says, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Now again, we're standing before God. We're in God's courtroom. And folks, we're all guilty. We're all guilty tonight. Then it goes on, it says, they're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. For there is none that doeth good, no, not one. You know what that verse is saying here, to sum it all up here? We're not seeking to do any good. We're seeking things that are unprofitable. What do you mean by things that are unprofitable? Let's think about this and put it in our realm. We're living and seeking to be profitable in this world. Are we not? Folks, we are laying up treasure in this world where we should not be laying up treasure. But where should our treasure be? In God's kingdom. Eternity is where we're going to profit there. Amen? So they're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Verse number 13 is a verse that really sticks out to me out of this whole passage. It says, their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of apes is under their lips. You look at this. Now we have kind of moved from the courtroom, and we moved into a different area. Now we're going to be talking about the body here. And so if you can imagine with me tonight, we're talking about the body. We might be in a hospital room at this point in time. It says, their throat is an open sepulchre. Who can tell me what a sepulchre is real quick? Grave. It is a grave. It is something that is dead, right? And it's something that for a period of time, if you open it up after a period of time, what's going to happen? There's going to be a stench that's in there. So as this verse becomes more real, it says their throat is an open grave. It stinks. It's full of vile. There's nothing good about it. And it moves on from the throat and begins to talk about the tongue. You look at the book of James and it talks about how we're to put a bit on our tongue, to control our tongue. And it says, with their tongues they have used deceit. Men have used their tongue to lie their way through anything and everything in life. We lie to make ourselves look good, to put ourselves upon a pedestal. We lie to get ourselves out of a jam that we put ourselves into to begin in the first place. We lie, we use deceit. Our tongue is a very powerful tool. And that's why I believe the book of James says, hey, put a bit on it, control it. So he goes on from the throat, he goes on from the tongue, and it says the poison of apps is under their lips. You got to be careful with what we say. Some very dark, hurtful things can come from these lips. These very lips have hurt people that I know and I love that I cannot get back in time. We need to be careful in how we use the tools that God has given us. Amen? Use it for His glory. Verse number 14, it says, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. You know, you and I, we are children of God. That's what we say. Amen? And I hope that's true in your case. I hope that you're a true child of God. I hope that you have come to that point in your life where you recognize your sin was taken to hell and you called on God to ask for forgiveness and you put your faith and trust in Him. But there are folks here that we see in Scripture, even so, they have a problem with their mouth, their tongue. Mouth is full of cursing. The things that come out of our mouths should be thought about. Amen? We should put careful care and consideration on things that we're going to say. There are folks that I know that just out of the top of their tongue, cursings. And I'm talking about using profane language that will come out of their mouth. They can't control it. And bitterness. Verse number 15, it says, their feet are swift to shed innocent blood. They're quick to go around and to shed innocent blood. 16, it says, destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. Verse number 18 strikes me even more in this chapter because it says, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Do you realize today we live in a society that has absolutely no fear and no respect for God? So much so they say that He doesn't even exist. And I often wonder, God, why are you keeping them alive if they don't believe in your existence? You know what answer comes to my mind? Christ died for all. And He wants them to come to that knowledge. There is a God. But people live their lives, there is no fear of God. You realize tonight we ought to have a fear of God in our life. We ought to respect God for what He can do. But this world that we live in has absolutely no fear. They have no respect. They have no love. And they have no care for Him. And that puts us in a position where we can sit there and say, there is a God. You need to fear Him. You need to love Him. You need to have respect for Him. Verse number 19, it says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, and that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in the sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. With this particular passage tonight, I have come to the conclusion and to the understanding that we are all guilty before an almighty God. We have all have sin in our life that has kept us from having that relationship with God. Well, Chad, you said last week that when you ask Christ to forgive you of your sins, that Christ forgives you of your past, your present, your future. And that is the honest truth. Christ does that, and I thank God for that. But that doesn't mean that we still don't sin. We still sin in our life. How many of you sin today? I have. And you know, with that sin in my life that I had today, you know what that does? That separates me from God. And so I need to understand that I have to live the lifestyle that God wants me to live, that He desperately desires for me to live. And we must understand and realize that we are all sinners before God. But we serve a God who is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Amen. But it is our sin who separates us. You mean we're separated from God when we sin? I've used this illustration many times. My daughter's not up here tonight. But when my daughter does something wrong that I don't agree with and I come down on her for, guess what? Her and I don't have fellowship with one another. It doesn't happen. There have been times where growing up in this household that I grew up in, that I have sinned that has kept me from having a relationship with my father. There have been times where I have sinned and has kept me from having a relationship with my mother. And what brought that back together? It was when I went to father and I went to mother and I said, please forgive me, I failed you guys. You know what happened then? And then they wanted to have fellowship with me once again. But I noticed during that time of that separation, they never stopped loving me. They never stopped caring for me. They wanted to have that relationship. But they also wanted us to come to that knowledge, hey, that sin is having us to have this separation in our life. And so we understand tonight that we are all guilty. There's none of us in here tonight that is going to escape this. We might sit there and say, well, I'm of a certain race. I'm of a certain religion. I'm of a certain age. I'm this and I'm that. It doesn't matter what you are. The fact of the matter is you are a sinner and you're going to stand before God. That's the fact of the matter. And one thing that I have understood is that we need on a daily basis. One of the things that I have become, that I have done on a daily life, in my daily life for the past several years, is after I get done reading God's Word, I have a time in prayer. And I know you guys have heard this before. And that time of prayer is very important to me because that really sets my tone in the day. And if I don't have that, then something happens. But one of the first things that I do that I want to get resolved right then and right there is to ask God for the forgiveness of the sins that I had in my life. Some of those things that I did that I didn't do purposely, as Pastor talked about this morning. Some of those things that I did intentionally. Some of those things that I did against man and those things that I did against God. Because I don't want to have a wall between God and I. I want to have a relationship, but I also know that my sin separates us. And so I've come to this realization that I've got to ask God for forgiveness of my sins. But you said, Chad, He forgives past, present, and future. Yes, but I still sin. And I still want to have a clean slate with God. I recognize that I am unworthy to stand before an almighty God. And so tonight, as we read this, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse number 23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Folks, we've all fallen short. But can I say, just because we have fallen short, and I'm a sports guy, I love sports, And I coach some things in sports. And I do know just because we don't achieve a certain goal or we don't beat a certain team, that doesn't mean that we give up. What does that do? For me, it does one thing. I want to keep going forward. Just because we fall short doesn't mean we give up. See, a lot of us, we'll read this verse and we'll say, okay, for all sin, and then what? Well, we've all come short. So because we come short, There's no sense in me going on. There's no sense in me reading my Bible anymore. There's no sense in me coming to church and trying to have a relationship with God. There's no sense in me having prayer time with me because no matter what I do, I'm going to fall short. And therefore, I'm going to give up. That's the wrong attitude to have. The best attitude to have after reading this verse, recognize, yeah, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm a sinner. I'm bought and paid for. Christ died for my sins. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. But even though I'm going to fall short, I'm going to keep trying to go and grow closer to God. That ought to be yours and my desire in life. But what keeps us from that? Caitlin, I'll tell you what keeps us from that. It's our sin. Our sin keeps us in bondage. It bogs us down. It weighs us down. When I know I have a sin in my life, the greatest relief that I can have is confessing it to a God who already knows about it and asking Him for forgiveness of sins. Yeah, you know, okay, we might fall short. That doesn't mean we stop, amen? You know, there's too many quitters in this world. We were praying this morning just before our services. I love our old people. I really do. Anybody that's 42 years of age and older, they're old people to me. And I have great respect for our elderly. I really do. And here's the reason why. Because these folks have gone through so much physically. And I'm talking stuff that you and I can't even imagine. I have seen what our father and our pastor has gone through. But I haven't gone through that. And I have seen some other things with folks that have gone through things that I have not gone through. And I'm talking older folks. And you know what I see? I see folks who have, hey, I've fallen short, but I want to keep going. I want to keep going for God. You know what they've taught me in my life? Just because I'm sick doesn't mean I've missed church. Just because I have an ailment. You know, we have sissified our young kids today. You know, I know I'm kind of getting off the message tonight, but this is on my heart too. We have sissified young people. Oh, you got a little runny nose. Oh, stay home, Johnny. We'll go get you some medicine. You stay home for the next 4 days. You know when I had a runny nose at home? You know what my mom and dad told me? Blow it. Well, it's still runny. Blow it again. I tell that to my daughter. Blow your nose, will you? We've sissified folks. Anyway, I thank God for those folks who realize that they want to have that relationship with God. But here it says, for all have sinned. I hope tonight, after listening to the messages this morning and hearing what is being taught tonight, is we're all sinners. Why can't we just admit it? Just admit it. Get it off your chest. You know, it's just like going to the shrink and you lie on his bed, on his couch, and you start saying things that you wouldn't say to anybody else, but you'll say to a complete stranger. And you'll pay them $45 an hour, probably more, and you'll begin to air all your dirty laundry out. And after an hour session, you feel good about yourself. And that shrink's going around town laughing to everybody about your problems. But here's the thing. Just get it off your chest. Say, God, this thing's been bugging me for days. This thing's been bugging me for months. This sin in my life has had a stronghold on me, and I have come to a recognition that I finally need to admit it and give it to you. That's why I believe Paul says, I die daily. We're all sinners. None of us are perfect. We're all guilty. The Jews, the Gentiles, we're all alike in this area. Nobody's exempt. Sure, we try to hide it from each other. We try to cover up our sin. But the one person that we can't hide from and cover it from is from God. He's the one who knows everything. Just admit it. And when you do that, there's such great relief in your life. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But don't give up. Keep going. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word that brings conviction to hearts and lives of people. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to realize that it is our sin that keeps us from having that great relationship that you so desire to have with us. Lord, if we can just be willing to swallow our pride and begin to admit in our very lives that we are not perfect. We're all sinners. We sin daily. Lord, whether it be through a bad thought that might come through our mind, whether it be through somebody cutting us off in traffic and we don't agree with it, and we might make gestures and say things underneath our breath. Oh, Lord, we might even think ill of our neighbor or a fellow brother in Christ. Lord, we have things in our life that we're all plagued with daily, on a daily basis. And so, Lord, tonight I pray that we would not allow these sins that are in our lives to keep us from having that relationship that you want to have with us. Lord, you love us despite of our ugliness. You love us even with all the sin in our life. And I can't begin to even understand that very thing. But Lord, I know tonight, and I understand and I realize that when we come to you and ask for forgiveness, you forgive. You forgive, and it's because of your grace, and it's because of your mercy, and it's because of your love that you have for us. Lord, help us to strive to have a better relationship with you. Lord, you know my life. You know the things that I struggle with, and I'm going to answer to you for those things. No one else is going to answer to you for that in my life but me. And so, Lord, tonight, help me to have victory in my life over the sins that beset me. We ask it in your Son's name.